We're going to have the youth come in also. So it's going to be a party. All right? They were supposed to be playing a game and then coming over here, so we'll see how well that works out. So you guys have a good Christmas? Amen. So before the youth get here, we've been in Chosen. We've been in a series, Lessons from the Christmas Story. And we've been, for the last few weeks, just reading through the Christmas story and just picking out some amazing truths. Because if we're honest, most people only go to Luke 2 at what time? Christmas time. So we've just been going through the last few weeks and just been pulling some amazing stuff out, and we've had a blast doing it. So I just thought, you know what? We'll continue that on tonight, you know? So I'm trying to stall for the youth to get here, but it might not happen. Maybe the game went long. So how many of you, I'm just going to start and they'll have to come in. How many of you have ever asked somebody what they want for Christmas and you got like a weird answer? Anybody? Am I like the only one? Some of you parents said, you know, come on. I'm not there yet, but I'm sure Jonathan's going to put some crazy things on that list one day. Like, what do you want that for? Anybody? Am I the only one? One thing that when I was a kid, like every year, my brother and my sister and me, we would get together and we'd go, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? And my mom would give this answer. She would say, I want peace. Now, as a young kid, I didn't realize what she was saying until I got older. I'm like, you're just saying because you want peace from us. That's messed up, Mom. You've been saying this for like 8 years, and I'm finally just catching on. But that was what she would say every year. I just want peace. And it took me a while to figure out she was wanting peace from me and my siblings. And one year, I actually got her a rock that has just the words peace on it. I was like, here's peace, Mom. And she actually still has that. But if we go to Luke 2, we see we could honestly say this is Jesus, his birth announcement, right? How many of you parents, when your kids were born, you gave a birth announcement in some way, some fashion? Anybody? Okay, I know we did when we got Jonathan. And so we could say that this is Jesus' birth announcement. Okay? So let's go to Luke 2. Verse 14. Remember, we've been on with the youth, lessons in the Christmas story, just picking out some truths in the Christmas story. So Luke 2:14, and I want you really to see this as God's birth announcement for his son. Okay? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, everyone say peace. Peace. Say it again. Peace. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's the version that I have right up there. It says, and goodwill towards men. Both. I am using the ESV, but you can stick with that. You're totally good. So right there we had that word peace, right? So tonight I just kind of want to talk about peace. That'll be our theme for tonight. Just that simple word. We'll keep it simple. That's what youth pastors do. Peace. How many of you guys could say I could use some more peace in 2018? Anybody? I think even if 2017 was a good year, I think we could all say there's some areas that we would love peace in. Could we all agree on that? So we see in his birth announcement that was one of the things, peace on earth. Who was bringing that peace? Jesus. Bringing peace. That's we could just stop there and be like, man, peace. I'm so thankful for the peace of God. Let's go to John 14:27. I really want you to, so remember, we're in the Christmas story. That's the passage we're picking from there. And the truth that we're picking out is peace. We're going to talk about this word peace. So John 14:27. I just realized I told, oh, they're here. Our world changers. Come on in, guys. I know it's a weird night. They're all like, but this is weird. We're with the adults. I know. It's all right. You'll survive a night. All right. So the youth know, and I'm going to just kind of really go quickly so they can catch up with us. The youth know, we've been on this series called Lessons from the Christmas Story. Right? Chosen? Tyler, right? There he goes. All right. So we were just picking truths from this. So tonight, Chosen, the truth that we're going to look at is the simple truth of peace. And you see in Luke 2:14 where it's kind of the birth announcement of Jesus. And it's peace on earth. Everybody say peace. Amen. Chosen, how many of you could say, I could use some more peace? No. Tyler's a little too excited. Tyler, tone it down. I'm just kidding. I love Tyler. So John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Pause. I love that. Because we had in his birth announcement, peace on earth. This is what he was going to bring. And we say, well, how is he going to bring peace? Well, he was going to take care of the whole sin issue so we could have a relationship with God. I love how Paul says in Colossians that in Christ we have peace with God. I don't know about you, but I grew up in religion. I grew up Catholic, and I didn't have a lot of peace in what I believed. I'm so thankful for the simple truth of Jesus, peace with God. No works, no nothing, just peace because simply the cross. It's amazing. It's amazing. And here he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, if you look up that word in the original, in the Greek, it's rest, it's tranquility, it's one with God. And this is what he was bringing. I spent years of my life, even the beginning of my Christian life, trying to earn this. And it gets frustrating because you really can't. It's simply Jesus earns it for you, and you live in this peace that he gave you, that he gave me. I want you to hear this. You are not trying to get peace. You have peace. But it's his peace, because the next part of the verse is, not as the world gives, do I give to you. See, the peace of the world, this is what it looks like. Someone that doesn't know Jesus, or even some Christians, their peace is anchored into their circumstances. If everything's going good, great, I got peace. The minute something bad happens, I don't got peace anymore. And I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I have worry, I have fear. And you're on this roller coaster. One of my biggest prayers, and I've said it before speaking up here, is one of my biggest prayers is I just want to be steady. And that may not sound very, very spiritual, but Paul talks about it. He talks about being steady. I don't want that emotional roller coaster. But in order to have that, we have to realize we have his peace, and we have to anchor ourselves in that. I love how Paul also says in Colossians that our lives are hidden in him. So we have to ask the question, what are you anchored to? I love how it continues, let not your heart be troubled. Doesn't that sound like an amazing life right there? Let not your heart be troubled. Now see, Jesus never promised, okay, you receive me, everything's going to be cupcakes and roses and puppies, not kittens, because they're the devil. I don't like cats, they're Satan. Not really, relax. But I love cats. You love your cat, but dogs are God's animal. Anyway, so let not your heart be be troubled. That sounds like an amazing life, right? But how many of us, if we were honest, are living with our hearts not troubled on a consistent basis? How many of us are there? This is not to be a negative thing, because all we have to do is make a switch. Well, maybe I'm anchored in how things are going. Let me anchor myself in the one that is steady, the one that is consistent, Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. How does this happen? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. My peace. His peace. And a beautiful example of this kind of peace is, and this is such a, I read this and it gets me fired up. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 39. I'm just going to kind of talk about it, but you can write that down in your notes. This is where Jesus was asleep in a boat during a storm. That's amazing to me. I'm from Florida, so like I know some people that are from Arizona don't really know about storms. I'm from Florida. We got storms in Florida. You hear the wind. You hear the rain. Like, storms are noisy. And I'm like, I've slept through hurricanes before. I admit that. I've been through so many, I can sleep through them. But on a boat, during a storm, this is a beautiful picture of this peace that he came to give us. And then he gave to us. And some of his disciples were freaking out. And just so we remember, so we can put this all in context, some of them were fishermen. Now, back in that day, if you were a fisherman, you've been doing it for years, probably because it's been in the family business. So you knew about it. These guys have been fishing for years. Now, if they're freaking out, it's a big deal. This is not just some little storm. This might have been a lake or a body of water that they were actually already had fished. They even knew about it. At least some of them. This is a big deal for them to freak out. And you can read that, Mark 4. And they go to Jesus and they're like, "Do you not care that we're going to die?" All dramatic. "Do you not care that we're going to die?" And he's asleep on a pillow during this storm. And see, I love how in Philippians 4:7, this peace is described as a peace that surpasses understanding. See, you can't put words to it. You actually can't explain it. This peace that he gives us, and when something comes against you and you're just all calm, actually people will look at you and go, "You're in denial. Something's wrong with you." You're like, "No, I'm not in denial. I'm into Jesus." I'm serious. And he's on the... I read that and I'm like, that's my Savior. He's just on the boat. He just knows everything's going to be all right. Now his 12 boys are having a little meltdown. Rightfully so. I'm not going to lie. If I was on that boat, I would probably be one of them. "Hey, Jesus, can you wake up and take care of this? Please, Jesus. Waves are getting huge, Lord. If the water's up to here in the boat," because it says the water was coming in the boat. When you read that, and you got to, I love putting myself in these. Like, if I was there in this crazy storm, and the water's getting in the boat, and we're all like, and the dude that's telling me he's the Savior of the world is sleeping? I'd be like, "Bro." And I love how this is our Savior. He wakes up and just goes, "Peace be still." Calms. Peace. Peace. Remember, lessons from the Christmas story. This was in his birth announcement. Peace on earth. And we saw in John 14:7, he gives us this peace. Philippians 4:7. This is a peace that surpasses understanding. You actually... It goes against everything that's natural, because it's not natural. It's supernatural. Anybody ever been there? You've been going through something, and this peace, you just had this peace, and people were looking at you like you are insane. Let me see hands. Anybody ever been there? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. I remember being in the hospital with Jonathan, and we get there, and we're all excited, and we get there, and he's in the NICU, so we had to like get signed in, do all this kind of stuff, but they wanted to talk to us before we went in there, and they were like, hey, you need to know. And they're almost like they were staring at me and not my wife. Like, my wife was there, but they were looking at me like, you need to know about this. And there's like barrage, like, and I was like, hey, he's not going to be normal. He's not going to be like normal kids. Are you prepared for that, sir? You're going to need tutors. I'm like, he's 2 days old. What are you talking about to me about tutors for? Can I just go in there and see him? Tutors? Get out of here. But that's the word that they use. He's not going to be normal. Now, if you've been around Jonathan, you know he is a very normal 2-year-old. He's not there. He's going to be slow. He's not slow. He's quick. And I remember being in that moment, and this peace that surpasses understanding. They were telling me all that, and I'm just smiling. I'm like, can I just go in there now? And they were like, you're not taking this seriously. I'm like, oh, I am. Can I go in there now? Went in there, took that little baby, one of the coolest moments of my life. First time I held him. I had to let Esther hold him first. Let her hold him first. And then I took him, and I literally just prayed over him, just spoke things over him. There was no freak out moment. No fear, no worry. Now, I'm not saying I didn't have a thought of that, but we need to learn as believers, you don't have to give in to every thought. In fact, when you give in to certain thoughts, this peace can be squashed because it's being drowned out by other voices. This is huge, guys. I pray that all of us would stop praying for stuff that God has already provided. See, if you leave here and you're praying, but God, that peace sounds so amazing. I need that. Then you need to write down the scriptures and go back. And I'm saying that because I'm so thankful that I had this peace in that moment. It's very easy to have peace when everything's going good. But when something like that happens, and then in the middle of that, I lost my job. My job fired me. Like, I called them and I was like, hey, I'm not going to be back tomorrow either, because they asked me. They're like, hey, how's the baby? I'm like, well, they want to keep him. They're going to release him today. We're not sure when, but hopefully today. And I was like, look, they're not going to release him. And we didn't even leave Phoenix till like 10. I'm like, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. They're like, oh, okay, we've gone a different direction with your employment. So here I am as a husband. I'm being told all this about Jonathan. I lost my job. I have no income. It didn't make sense to be happy. It didn't make sense to be in peace. And if I didn't have his peace, I wouldn't have been. But I had a peace that surpasses understanding. You have a peace that surpasses understanding, no matter what situation you're going through. And you don't have to ask for it. It's in there. You can be just like Jesus in the middle of a storm, sleeping through the night beautifully, because you know it's going to be all right. This is huge. So many people, they live moment to moment, and it's not fun. It's really not. It's this emotional roller coaster, and I deal with young people, so trust me. I know roller coasters. I love it, though. I love being able to look at them, look at you guys, and go, hey, there's a peace. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this yet. One of my things for the New Year's, I want to get better at living in this peace and joy that's already mine. It's one of my personal things. I don't want to be so moved by circumstances. I want to be steady. I want to live in this peace. I want to live in this joy that he's given me. That's where I want to live. I don't want to be so tossed to and fro. Oh, it's a good day. It's a bad day. Well, listen, in Jesus, every day is a good day. I'm not saying things don't happen. Jesus himself never promised. He goes, look, you're going to experience tribulation. Meaning some bad stuff. Because it's a fallen world. It's never God that gives it to us, though. You need to remember that. God doesn't do that. One of the things I talked about with the youth in this series, Lessons on the Christmas Story, is that Jesus was... He was showing who God really was. One of his purposes was to reveal who God is. And so if you can't find Jesus doing it, it's not God. Can I be that bold and say that? There are many people that believe sickness, God uses it. Show me one time in the Gospels God does that. He never walked into him and was like, you need to learn more about me, daughter. Leprosy. Never. You need to learn more about me. You need to learn how to trust me more. Cancer. In fact, he walked into a room and things like that were healed. That's our God. That's who he is. And we get that because he's a picture of who God is. Really is. I want to live more in this in 2018. I do. I want to live more in this peace. Some of you have family struggles. Live in this peace. Anchor yourself in his peace. And it won't matter what your kids are doing, what your grandkids are doing. You'll still have a peace, and you'll still be able to pray for them and stay strong in that. It's amazing. Where is your peace? This is something that, like, the world would pay top dollar for. Top dollar. I mean, I'm talking about millions. We see all the time in the business world, in the music world, in Hollywood, all the time. These people that reach the pinnacle and they end up committing suicide. Why? No peace. They got the house, they got the things, they got all this, they got all that, but they're not happy. Because peace and joy isn't in that. It's found in Jesus. They would pay top dollar for what God is saying is yours already as a Jesus follower. Man, how he loves us. And he sets us up for success. I don't know how I would have made it through that moment in the hospital if it wasn't for what I'm talking about tonight. I know I wouldn't have been able to. I would have crumbled. Are you kidding me? You're telling me all this? And then they're asking me, do you really want him? I'm like, well, yeah. But all these questions, then I lose my job. All this stuff going on. And the nurses probably looked at my wife and I like we were crazy. Because we went in, we prayed, and we left and got food. We didn't go, we just gotta pray harder. God hears you when you pray. It's not about pressing into him. It's about pressing into what he's already given us. That term has got huge in the church. We just got to press in. That's like we have to work to get into his presence. No, we don't. You sit there, you say, Father, boom, you're in his presence. That's it. This is huge. This is my... one of the biggest things that I want to live here. What about you? You want to live? You want your heart to not be troubled? That sounds so amazing to me. Like, let your heart, what is it? Your soul, your emotions, your mind. You're saying, through your grace, through your peace, like my heart can be stable and can be strong and it won't be troubled by it, by your peace, sign me up. All you have to do is tap into this. As believers, we need to start learning what is ours and stop praying for what he's already given us. Some of us in our walks with God are frustrated because we keep praying for what he's already provided. Is it healing? Go read Isaiah 53, 54, 55. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. That means in his eyes and how he views it, you already are healed. You've been healed. You're not trying to get healed. This is who you are. Now, if you're sitting there, you're it's anchored to, okay, I'm going to believe God for healing. Doesn't happen. If you're anchored to that, we need to be anchored into Jesus. That's where our stability comes from. Peace. Peace. I'll say it again. A lot of people live by peace. By what's going on. Everything's great. You're great. I'm great. Everything's not. I'm not. I'm full of worry. I'm full of anxiety. I'm so thankful that God can help us with all that. We don't have to live in those things. We don't have to live in worry. I come from a home, from a mom that she's like the queen worrier. She's good at it. Worrying is not fun. Is it? Is worrying fun? Well, it's just, no, worry causes stress. Stress has, you can look, medically they've proven it has, it affects you physically. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14:27. How? Because peace I'm giving to you, and it's my peace I'm leaving with you. Not about your peace. Some of us need to get our eyes off of us. A little. We need to get our eyes off us a little more. Get our eyes more on Jesus. And this does make people mad. Well, wait. You're saying that I already have it? Yeah. I am. We'll read Ephesians 1, 1 through. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have it. One of the biggest revelations I've ever received in my entire life was because of Jesus. I already got it. I don't got to beg. I just got to go, God, you're so good. Thank you. This promise is already mine, and I get to walk on. So thankful for this Jesus. So how do we, because I know some people are asking, how do we tap into this peace? We read he gave it to us, and by the way, Galatians 5:22, that it says the fruits of the Spirit, peace is one of those, and it's listed as one of those. So you already have peace. You're not trying to get joy; you have it. Joy, peace, man. You got it. You got it. How do we tap into this? Well, number one. You need to believe it. We need to put our faith towards, I already got it. I have this peace. And not let our peace be dictated by what's going on in our lives. I'm not saying those things aren't real. When I was in the hospital, oh, it was very, which Jonathan, it was very real. When I lost my job, it was very real. Trust me. But it's amazing how God always comes through. In fact, after I got the phone with my, at that time, now, previous employer, we got a call from our agency. Hey, somebody donated a bunch of money for adoption. We're just going to give you guys $7,000. Okay. It's amazing. And I can't say it's because Ryan that happened. It's because his peace was given to me, and I simply, at that moment, chose to walk in that. You have the same choice. We all have the same choice. I'm going to live in what I've been given, not beg God for it. So we need to believe it. Take these scriptures. This is mine. But maybe for you it's not peace. Maybe for you it is healing. Start seeing healing as yours through Jesus. Not dependent on if the symptoms are going away. If 1 Peter 2:24 says by his stripes it was healed, that's the truth. We connect and anchor ourselves in that truth. Is done. Maybe for you it's not peace, but this still works in every area. We have been given so much. Some of us go, I just need joy. You have it. Go read Galatians 5:22. You think God's lying? Well, this is the fruits of the Spirit. Love. I can't love that person. Well, you have love in you. Romans 5:5-5, that love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, you have love. You're not lacking in love. Joy, you're not lacking. Peace, you have his. You don't need any more peace. You got his. We need to learn to tap into what he's already given us. So how do we tap into this peace? Number one, believe it. Believe that it's yours. Start connecting your faith with that. Whatever it is. If it's healing, start connecting your faith to, it's done. I have it. It's mine. Maybe there's some people here that have been for years trying to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. It's an amazing gift, by the way. Changed my life. And it's free. And you're trying to earn it. Can I just encourage you, just accept the gift that he's offering to you. Can we stop making Christianity so hard? Church does. Religion loves to make it complicated. Well, you have to do. But in Jesus, it's I gave. I want to live in the I gaves. And stop trying to earn what he's already. It's amazing. Let not your heart be troubled. It sounds like an amazing life. So that's first, how we tap into it. We believe it. Number two, we need to spend regular time with the peace giver named Jesus. Now, there are a lot of, I've heard it preached. I've heard it said by the people, if you wait till something bad happens to try to live in this peace, it's too late. I will never say it's too late for God. Because God is so good and he loves us so much. We call out. He's going to be there. But I will say it can be harder to walk in his peace at that moment. I got a lot of family. Don't want nothing to do with God until something bad happens. Acting like God's his genie. We gotta walk him through some stuff. But when you're spending regular time with this peace giver, the one that gave you this peace, then when something tries to come against you, you're going to respond in this peace. That's what happened in that hospital. It wasn't Ryan. Well, you did that because you're a pastor. That's foolish talk. I was able to respond in that way just simply because I've been spending time with this one that gave me this peace. Think about it. You have a sponge. Whatever you put that sponge in and you pick up and you squeeze it, that's what's going to come out. You put it in water, water's going to come out. You put it in Kool-Aid, squeeze it, Kool-Aid's going to come out. Same thing with us in our lives. I love the quote that says, life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we respond. And we just spend time with Jesus, we'll find ourselves responding more and more in the things that he's already given us. You'll respond more in love. Because you're spending time with love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. You'll respond more in grace because you're spending time with the grace giver. It's not complicated. You'll be able to forgive easier because you'll be spending time with the one that forgives everybody for anything. By the way, Luke 2:14, when he appeared to the shepherds, that's a significant thing. We kind of gloss over that. But in that time, in that culture, shepherds were looked at low of the low. And this is who he appeared to. This is who the angels appeared to. Like, he's coming. He's here. Peace aren't. They're like, whoa. God didn't go to a king. He didn't go to people of status. He didn't go someone that was rich. He went to poor shepherds. Again, showing God's heart. God loves us all. I love this. I love talking about this kind of stuff. It's a revelation that really, honestly changed my life. That I already got. And if you, I encourage you, go listen to Andrew Womack's series, You Already Got It. It's amazing. I spent years of my Christian walk trying to earn his anointing, trying to earn his call, trying to earn his purpose. If I was sick, trying to earn healing. If I needed money, trying to earn it, to be good enough so he would give me finances. Maybe that's not your story, but it was mine. And when I came into, I already got it. I just want more of God. Do you realize that because of Jesus, this book says you are filled with the Godhead? You are filled. You don't need any more of God. You're filled. You're filled. Saying it's wrong to say, I want more. Because we need to wrap our minds around that. But I believe also to experience more of God, we need to tap into what he's already given us. And live in that, man. Live in that. Could it really be that simple? Yeah. Because Jesus didn't come to complicate anything. He came to simplify everything. I got a lot of young people, and they're here now, but not these who I'm thinking of, but it seems like this generation is always stressed out. And part of me goes, you go to school and that's it. How are you stressed? I don't get that. I have a job. I'm a youth pastor. I'm in college. Got a family. And you're stressed out because you go to school and that's it. I don't understand some of that. But that's where God is. I'm just kidding. Relax. But we live very stressed lives. Even some adults. Stressed. Man, you live in this peace, there is no more stress. I'm not saying you don't have things happen. But they don't shake you. Just like Jesus on the boat, you sleep through that storm. I want to be like that. Stuff going on and me just there yet. I don't want to be so easily shaken either. I want to be steady. I believe this peace he gave us. I pray that you guys are being challenged tonight for 2018. Let's all, and I'm there too. I want to live more in what he gave me. I want to live in this peace. I want to live in this joy that I already have. Anybody with me? Is this new to somebody? Like, what? It is new. Maybe for me, maybe for you, but I promise you the Bible backs it up. That you already got it. Let's just close our eyes. If you're in here tonight and you could say, my heart's been troubled. My heart's been troubled lately. What is your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions? But if you could, if you say, you know what, it really has been. I've been troubled. My heart's been troubled lately. But this, I'm going to start tapping into His peace that I've already been given. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. I pray that just raise your hand nice and high. Thank you for the ones that have their hands raised. And maybe the ones that didn't raise their hands but wanted to. They're still included. You see their hearts right now, God. I just pray that this would become more of a revelation. More of a revelation that we already have this peace. Soak it up right now. Your hands and just soak it up. Just say it's mine. I have peace. Thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is the teacher. That all these that have their hands raised, you'll give them more revelation on what they already have. What we have because of Jesus. That we would live more of a peaceful life, more at rest. Even in the midst of a storm, we can be at rest. Even in the midst of negative circumstances, we can be at rest. We can be at peace because we have your peace. And now, God, I thank you for this truth. That we are not trying to get your peace, we have it. Thank you for these moments in your word and in worship. Thank you that all of us will leave here encouraged. Not beat down, but encouraged. My heart's been troubled lately. Listen, God loves you. He's not mad at you. You're here tonight so you could hear you already got it. So all we need to do is attach our faith to that. Go over these scriptures. I want you to hear it again. You already got it. He's not mad at you. Don't leave here while my heart's been troubled. God's disappointed. He's never disappointed at you. You don't find that in scripture. He loves you. And in fact, right now he's excited because he's like, oh, let's tap into what I've already given you. We thank you, God. In your name we pray. And everybody said,